down. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. Luke chapter 4 from verse 16. Let me know if you're there or shall we carry on? He says, so he came to Nazareth. This is talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up and to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, and that is pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That is the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly." I just want to repeat that again. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, that is pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free, the downtrodden, the bruised, the crushed by tragedy, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, last Friday when Pastor Paul was preaching, he said something. And this is basically what he said. He said, as a Christian, what landmarks, or in other words, when was the last time you actually saw a miracle in your life? When was the last time you saw a miracle in your life? It got me thinking, because I've been thinking about that for some time now. That as a Christian, what sets you apart from the unbeliever? I mean, you can't be fighting the same thing as unbelievers are fighting. I don't see Prince Harry or Prince Charles or any of the princes ever struggling or competing with a common man. That can never happen. It can never. You know, God says we are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. You know, he says he knows you need the cars, you need the houses, you need the clothing, you need all that. But he says, seek my kingdom first, and all these things will be added. But we tend to have it the other way around, where we chase all these things and leave the kingdom and not focus on it. So this one, he says, he came to set the captives free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so this day is the day of the Lord's favor. It is the day of the Lord's favor. You know, in Genesis chapter 26, I'll give you an example of favor here. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 13, look what happens to Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, let's go to 12. Let's start from 12. Genesis 26, verse 12. It says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds and cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. Now, when you are getting in 1 year what you're supposed to get in 10 years, that is favor. That is favor. And that is where God wants to bring you. That you don't struggle to get what you're supposed to get. That is favor. You haven't done anything to deserve it. It's just by his grace. It's just by his love. That is favor. And that's where God wants to bring you to that place where you're not even competing with anybody. And people will be envious of you, but it's because of his favor resting upon your life. I don't see any reason why anybody will choose maybe to go and watch a game of football instead of coming to church. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to get your priorities right. You completely have to get your priorities right. And if you choose to go and watch a game of football instead of coming to the house of God, then there is something wrong. It means you're not getting what you should be getting in the house of God. And that is why. And so I don't blame them at all, because you're not getting what you should be getting. And so you decide to go and watch a game of football because you get more satisfaction out of it than coming in the house of God. You know, we need to get to that point where we'll be the envy of people. You know, let our lives be a testimony in itself. And that's what I spend. I say, God, please let me get to that stage. Because some people, you never get the chance to ever speak to somebody, but your life in itself will speak. Just like the life of Isaac was speaking to the Philistines. I say, wow, how did you achieve this? Something that would take 10 years to achieve. You achieved that same thing in 1 year. 100 times what he sowed. 100 times what he sowed. Now he says, the scripture I read in Luke chapter 4, he says, he came to set the captives free and to proclaim or declare the favor of the Lord. You see, there's something about being captive that stops you from achieving what God wants you to achieve. When you talk about captivity, there's so many types. There's spiritual captivity. There's mental captivity. There's emotional captivity. There's even captivity of the flesh, where you know you've got the wrong desires, where you can find yourself in bondage, or certain addictions stop you from getting where God wants you to get. There is the captivity of poverty, for instance. The captivity of fear, for instance. The captivity of rejection. I mean, if I keep going, I might hate you. There's so many types of captivities that stops us from getting where God wants us to get to. And he says, this is what I'm here to free you from, so that you can achieve every single thing that I've called you to achieve. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This day, this year, is the year and the favor of God. It is the favor of God. You know, in Luke chapter 8, there's a story there that I would like to share with you in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I read from verse 22. And I read from the NIV version. It says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. 26, they sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake of Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man has not worn clothes or lived in a house, but has lived in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg of you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasene asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat, and then he left. He got into the boat, and then he left. Now, this is the story of a man who was possessed. Now, it was so possessed that he had even lost his identity. He didn't even know who he was. When Jesus got to him, Jesus said, look, let's go on the other side, or let's go to the other side. He didn't tell them what they were going to do. He said, let's go to the other side. And as they were going, he fell asleep. And then suddenly there was a storm. And then his disciples ran to him and said, look, there's a storm, Jesus, save us. And he woke up and said, where is your faith? Now, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the storm, said, peace be still, and dead. You know, I looked up the meaning of rebuke. It says to speak to somebody angrily because you disagree with something they've done or said. That is rebuke. That is rebuke. And so Jesus did not rebuke nature. There was somebody behind the storm. It says to rebuke somebody or someone. So who do you think was behind the storm? It can only be one person. And you know it's the devil because of the way that demonic man reacted as soon as Jesus hit the shore. You know, there are times that the devil will hide behind things to make sure you've been held captive. And he was hiding behind nature. He was hiding behind the storm. He was hiding behind the wind, saying, there are times that the enemy will do that. You know, I remember just at a recent encounter, I was busy packing the items for the gift for the men. And then one of the guys came to me and he said he needed a first aid box. And I said, well, I don't have one, but I believe they might have one somewhere in the building. Then I said to him, why do you need that first aid box for? Then he said, oh, he's got this pain in his neck that it's really bad, that it's so bad that he has to take painkillers for the pain to go. I said to him, look, you've come all the way for an encounter and you need painkillers. I mean, that's just not acceptable. Once you're in an encounter, we have to pray for you. Now, because I was busy doing stuff, I asked, you know, my crazy friend Kamal. I said, Kamal, why don't you just lay your hands on him and pray for him because I'm busy? And jokingly, he went over, put his hand on his neck and started praying for him. Now, within seconds, the pain was gone. Now, this is pain that this guy was going through for a long time. Now, he didn't even believe that the pain was gone, you know. So he, after an hour, he felt it. It was okay. The next day, when he woke up, the pain still hadn't come. They said, wow, I've never experienced anything like this before. Never experienced anything like this before. But it's funny, the pain didn't come until just before we were about to start the encounter. Now, if he had gone for paracetamol, it would have just given temporary relief. Temporary relief. Or he probably have said, you know, I'm going through this pain, so I can't make it through the sessions. I'm going to relax. But that day, instead of temporary relief, God gave him a permanent relief. He gave him a permanent relief. And that is what he's about, to give you permanent relief from every situation, every circumstance that you are facing right now. That is what he's all about. You know, June shared a fantastic testimony right there about God giving her, I was going to do this, but it's victory. But you know, some time ago, I had a similar problem with my toe. I had an infection, and all I did was limp, and then limp, and limp. And then one of the doctors in the house saw me and said, why are you limping? And I told them what was happening. He said, let's see your toe. He took one good look at it and said, Godfrey, it was a Sunday. You have to go to the doctor the next day, which was a Monday. And he said, from the way I'm seeing it, that nail has to be removed. I didn't like the idea. Anything to do with the hospital, I will run miles. I just don't like it at all. I remember 20 years ago, I had to here we're for Peter. 20 years ago, I had to take an injection. And when I got into the room, I saw the needle and the string. I would do a merry-go-round with the guy. I never, ever took the injection. But anyway, that Sunday, I got home. I looked at my toe, and I put my hand on. I said, God, I claim your healing. I claim your healing over this toe. And within that week, it was gone. You know, the word of God carries credibility. You know, it carries so much credibility. It wasn't Kamal who healed the guy. I didn't heal the guy. It's the word of God. But we need to learn to practice the word of God because God wants to deliver us from any kind of captivity. You know, Ralph led a beautiful praise and worship, and that song which says, I'm no longer a slave to fear. There's so many things that when you become slave to, or when it's gotten you captive, it stops you from doing what God wants you to do. Completely. It takes you captive from doing what God wants you to do. You know, and in the Bible, I remember the story of the woman at the well. Jesus went out of his way and waited by the well just so he could deliver that woman from that captivity in which she was. And the same story is what we see here. It applies here, where Jesus delivers this guy who was possessed by 6,000 demons. 6,000, that's a lot of demons. A lot. I mean, even one demon is an issue. Let alone 6,000 demons. I mean, see what happened to the pigs. There's 2,000 pigs that Jesus cast, how do you call it, the demons into, and they all drowned. And so can you imagine what that guy was going through? 6,000 different personalities or identities. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the good thing is, you know, he didn't even know that that day salvation was coming. He didn't even know that deliverance was coming. But we serve a God who delivers. We serve. And so the minute Satan realizes that God is on his way to deliver the guy, he starts with a storm just so that this guy would not be delivered. He starts with a storm so that the guy would not be delivered. But Jesus, knowing what he was about to do, he rebuked the storm and he said to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" Now, anytime God asks a question, it's not because he wants an answer. It's because he wants to reveal something. Because there are times you need your faith to get to the other side of the storm. And without it, you can't. And that is what he was trying to teach. 6,000 demons in one person. I find it interesting that he was even still alive. It's crazy. You know, I read a book called He Came to Set the Captives Free. And I don't know how many people. It's a crazy book. If you haven't read it, read it. Yeah. 6,000 demons. And yet he set him free. Now, the funny thing is, as soon as Jesus set that guy free, the people came and said, "We don't want you here. We want you to go." And Jesus left. He didn't leave because the people told him. He left because he had finished what he came to do. Nobody can ever stop God from achieving what he wants to achieve, believe me. So he didn't go, not because the people wanted him, but he left because he had finished the assignment he came to do. God will not leave you alone unless he's finished with you. He will not leave you alone. He said that, "Look, I came so that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I don't know what your captivity is this morning, but there's bound to be something that is stopping you from living the life that God has called you to live. There's something that is stopping you from achieving what God has called you to achieve. There is something that is holding you back from attaining heights that God wants you to attain. He is the limit breaker. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that he cannot handle. But you have to take him at his word and believe. You saw what Pastor June said. There's so much credibility in the word of God. But at times you need to stand on the word and practice it. And so you wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, you came to set me free. Lord, you came to declare the year of your favor. And so I receive it today." That's something that normally should take 10 years. You are using 1 year to achieve. And that is favor. And that is all he came to do. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray with somebody this morning. I really want to pray with somebody this morning. Just join. You know, the Bible says, "Where two shall come together concerning a thing, it shall be established." You know, I just want to come into agreement with you this morning. And remember, Jesus said to Peter, "I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail." Your faith will not fail. I just want to come into agreement with somebody here. You know, if Jesus would go as far as, you know, and mind you, those 2,000 pigs, that was the economy of that town, you know. Jesus completely crippled the economy just because of one person. Yeah, 2,000 pigs, just because of one person. And it's interesting, the devil asks to go into the pigs because the devil always tries and possess something that is precious to you. That's what he does. If it's not precious to you, you won't. And they all died. And that is what he came to do on the cross for you. You know, I always say that God paid a price for you. You know, give him what he deserves. And that is the fact that, you know, you receive that healing he's given you. You receive that breakthrough that he's given you. Don't come here the same and go back the same way. Let somebody see you and say, "I came to church and I went back with a testimony." You know, "I came to church and I went back with a testimony." Now, I don't know what your captivity is right now. I don't even know what demons you are facing right now. But I know one thing, that we serve a God who delivers. It doesn't matter if it's a demon, if it's 6,000 of them, if it's 1,000,000 of them. Just one word. One word is enough. One word to free you. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we be on our feet, please? In James 1, verse 22, he says, "Do not just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Practice what the word says." That is what he says. Practice it. Don't just listen to the word and deceive yourself. Practice what he says, because there's credibility in my word. I watch over my word to perform it. That's what God says. I watch over it to perform it. Because there was nobody to swear to, he swore by his name. I think, you know, sometimes we disgrace more than we give him praise. We do. By not standing on the word and the promises that he's given us. You speak to the people in the world and they've got so much to show for the things they do. Because they work like crazy and they've got so much to show for it. What have we got to show for every Sunday that we come here to God? What have we got to show for it? And I strongly believe if there's anything else God could have done just to set us free, he would have done it. But he's done everything he can. And that is why on the cross he said, it is finished. Because he's done everything. He's covered every place that needs covering. So there's no excuse. The enemy has no argument. Remember the story of Job. How the devil destroyed Job. He used the wind, earthquakes and stuff. He was behind it. But Job probably didn't know. He thought it was natural causes. But the enemy was behind this. Today we'll break every power of the enemy in Jesus' name. Because the limit breaker himself is here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've shared with your people what you put onto my heart. Lord, you know where they are right now. You know what they are facing right now. You know the condition in which they are right now. And so that is why you asked me to bring this word. Father, the Bible says, your word that goes forth does not return to you void, but it accomplishes every purpose for which you sent it. So may the purpose for which this word is gone out be accomplished in Jesus' name. Father, let nobody in this auditorium live the same way as they came, oh God. You know every area in their lives, oh God, that they've been held captives. Because I know there are certain things, oh God, that cannot be spoken here. But you know the hearts of men and women. And you know the hearts of the people here, Lord. And so I pray and I speak deliverance right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, I ask that you put a testimony in the mouth of every single person here, God. So that all the glory, Father, and all the praise, oh God, will come to you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that this is the year of your favor. I thank you, Father, that you came to set every captive free, oh God. You came to do for them what no man can do, what no employer can do, what no husband can do, what no wife can do. Only you, oh God. Father, your favor speaks for us even when we don't deserve it. You went out of your way just for the woman at the well, oh God. You went out of your way just for the man who was possessed. And Lord, you do these things. These things are in your word, not so that we know you can do it, but so that we know that you can do it for us as well. And I thank you for going out of your way for every single person here, by dying on the cross for them. I thank you, Father. I see chains being broken right now. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. Father, we break every shackle right now, God. Anything that is holding your people back, Father, from achieving what you've called them to achieve, Lord, we break it right now in Jesus' name. Father, let the authority of your word have prominence, oh God, in the lives of the people here. I thank you so much, Father. And I give you all the glory, Father, for testimonies that are coming out because of what you've done, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I've prayed. Amen. Amen.